with the mind of a serial killer, do they kill for a specific period of time, stop and resume again, or in some cases, like possibly what we're seeing in Wichita, Kansas, the individual just stops and doesn't go back to killing? What causes this time lapse?
We don't know what the time lapse is about. We do know that very similar to people who go off their drugs for a while, that they eventually do go back, that something makes them go back. But we've not been able to clarify why they do stop for periods of time, but it's not unusual. A lot of people say that they stop because they've been imprisoned or because they're in some type of trouble.
Or they died.
Or they died. That was the speculation about the Green River Killer, that he must have died because there hadn't been killings for a long period of time. But when you start looking at the patterns of how he killed, it's not unusual for these guys to travel to a completely different part of the country, kill there, come back to where they were, and nothing seems to happen in their neighborhood, so to speak. But there are these bodies scattered all over the country.
Well, that's so true. Now, do we know if they stop and just end it entirely, or do they always resume?
They always resume.
They do.
All yes, right. Absolutely. I mean, I am most fascinated by this individual in Kansas City because, as I said, 38 is usually the time when these people are caught.
Right.
Not when they start.
Right, when they start.
I want to know what happened in the 23 years prior to the time that he's identified his first homicide.
Something traumatic happened, no doubt.
No.
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 That's the other part of it. People have always said that serial murderers, they lost their parent or they lost their job or the reason they started all this was because their mother was seductive or crazy.
Right, or their father did something
to
them.
He was brutal or he was an alcoholic and so forth and so on. And without a doubt, that is not at all the case. There is nothing that sets them off except what we think and are speculating, that there's something as puberty comes along, when somebody goes into early adolescence, that the changes in brain chemistry trigger something inside that person's genetic makeup.
Around that period of time.
Yes, absolutely. Hmm. And we never expected that. I mean, when you start a project, you have no idea what you're doing. You collect data, and then you start comparing this data. And when we found out that the homicides began at that period of time, this was not passed down in families. None of the brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers had any violence in their background. Then we really had to start looking at, all right, is there something in the genetic makeup? Is there a little crinkle in a gene that occurs prenatally? And then it's triggered by the brain chemistry and the hormonal changes.
And no one really sees this change?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. The only thing that happens generally as an adolescent is that they may get a little squirrely in school. They don't do their homework as much. They may not go so frequently. But there's no acting out. There's no robbery. There are no rapes. There are no...
And that's why they're so hard to find.
Oh, absolutely. They don't ever leave a clue.
Well, Helen, do they ever go home after one of these heinous murders and cry and go, oh, my God, why did I do this, and try to stop, or do they just keep going?
They keep going. They don't have the capacity to maintain the memory of what they have done until something else reminds them of that. They don't go home and they don't think about it at all. It's very similar to when John Gacy killed Rob Peace, the last boy that he picked up.
Tell us this episode.
Well, John Gacy was a contractor. He would renovate drugstores and he would be involved in, you know, various contracting things, concrete and so forth. And he would hire young men to come and help him. Well, he was at one of the drugstores giving an estimate, and he saw this young man, and the pharmacist said to the young man, oh, you know, that guy might be looking for help. He's a contractor, and he does hire people. unbeknownst to John Gacy, the mother of the boy was sitting in her car in the parking lot. Rob went over to John Gacy mm-hmm. and said, I'm looking for a job. I hear you're hiring people.
And how old was the kid?
He was 16.
16, all right.
And he got in the truck, and that was the end of Rob Peast.
Now, what did Mom do during that point of time?
Well, he told his mother he was going to go with this guy
okay.
because he was possibly going to get a job. And, of course, everyone was totally frantic, and they knew who he was. The police knew where he lived. The police went over there, and he said, well, I don't know anything about this. You know, I dropped him off at such and so. And the police obviously believed him. And this was when Peast was bound and gagged in the room before he killed him.
Oh, he was there.
He was there.
They didn't even go check?
No, they did. I mean, you know, this guy didn't look like a madman. You know, he was just a...
Well, see, that's what police officers need to understand, that with a serial killer, they don't look crazy.
No, not at all. And they don't look suspicious, and they don't act suspicious. And, you know, most of us, if we killed someone, we would be a nervous wreck. Most. I'm not saying all. But these people show absolutely no emotion whatsoever. So there's nothing that triggers any suspicion.